This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off.
I was about 9 years old when I started with my trichotillomania, and I'm a twin too, so me and my twin sister both around the same time. My parents were going through a divorce. They did like years before, but we were living with my mom. So like a lot of mental and like physical abuse and stuff like that, that kind of like triggered it. But it's mostly just like my eyelashes. And then it went to my eyebrows. And it was like the weirdest thing, because I remember just overnight one night, like just being upset and then like going to bed and then like just the comfort of like pulling my hair out. And I just kept doing it and I didn't even realize I was doing it. And the next morning I woke up and I was like, oh my God, what did I do? And then nobody noticed, but then later on the day, like, you know, people at school, they noticed, and then my mom noticed later, and she was like extremely mad and not even like worried, but mad. And so I guess that kind of like it all just kept spiraling with her anger, and it made it more persistent. And then my sister, it's the same thing, eyelashes and stuff, and eyelashes, eyebrows. And now that I look back at like pictures, and like I had like half of an eyebrow, and I'm like, oh my God, it was like, I'm like, how crazy was that? But getting closer into like adulthood, then it kind of started easing up too. And then I started realizing more things, like who has it in my family? Well, my dad has it also. And that wasn't like, I never seen him like pulling until like I was older. Then it started becoming more noticeable, and I never knew it was even a thing at all. So, and like we went to therapy for the longest time and medications and everything, and it's like nothing really worked. The only thing that kind of has helped was exercise, like playing sports. And then as an adult, you don't have that much time to play sports and do that with work and family. So it's like it kind of comes and goes in waves now. It's not as bad, but it's definitely, it's still there. It's like it'll always be there.
So when did you find out that your twin sister was also doing it? Did you guys tell each other right away, or was it something you both kind of looked at each other like that, you know, Spider-Man meme, like, hey, hey?
Yeah, like we knew like instantly, like the both of us. And then we just kind of look at each other and be like, are you okay? We knew, we get that weird twin telepathy thing, like we know something's wrong. And it happens like with everything else too. So it's like, that's the only person that we could talk to each other about. So like, I was really fortunate to be able to talk to someone else about that. And I'm like, well, if she has it too, like we're both doing this, like what's going on? Like as we were kids, I'm like, what are we doing? Like, why? And we never knew why. Like the therapist mentioned it, but it was like, you know, in the 90s and stuff, it was like something that still people were like, oh, like that's kind of like weird. And but we were the only two that could talk to each other about it.
Yeah, that had to be really comforting, but also not necessarily scary, but like, hey, how do we manage this? Like you said, we are two kids and we are both doing it. How do we get support? How do we get help? How did you guys kind of manage that?
The support, mostly it came from my dad more so, because we were like closer with him. So it was like that one family member. And I don't know, he knew a better way to go about talking to us about things. And me and my sister, like, we because we could talk to each other. So that helps. So we like support each other, and like we're trying to throw ideas off of each other of like, hey, well, what if we do this? What if we do that? And like the therapist would kind of say, like, oh, well, like try like, fidget toys and stuff. And it's like, well, we can try all that, but sometimes it's like you're not going to stay focused on that. So, I mean, it was like then we'd be focused on other things, and it's still like it for us, it was still in our minds and like in our brain, like, oh, like if I have like that itch still that I just have to get, or and it's like, yeah, you can't like control it.
From that therapist, were they the one that told you the name for the disorder, or did you find that out later?
Yeah, she wound up telling us, yep. And I thought it was like, oh, like there's actually a name for it. Like, really? Didn't even know. And didn't even like even still at like 9 or 10 years old, we were still like, well, there's a name for it, so there must be like maybe we can fix it. But there's really like there's never you can't fix it. You can try to enhance things, but not like fix it, like totally fix it. That's why sometimes when people ask, like, oh, like, well, you can do this and that, and I'm like, yeah, you can try different methods, but it's not always gonna go away, especially if it's like genetic or like with them under like the mental health like disorders. So, and like that's like the biggest part. And like the biggest surprise to me, because working in the hospital, I've had a couple of my patients that have had it. So it was kind of like, as an adult, I'm like, okay, we don't look crazy. Like, we're not crazy. Like, other people actually have it. Because growing up as a kid, you don't see too many other people or realize that other people have it. Especially now with all the social media and the technology that we have, more so being advanced.
Were there times growing up where the severity of your trichotillomania and your sister's were different? So maybe you were going through like a harder time and then hers was kind of growing back. If so, how did you guys navigate that?
Yeah, definitely. Even so, growing up, like I think the biggest thing was it was like more so in high school. So like she started to overcome hers a little bit more, like suppress it more. And she had pretty much all of her eyebrows and eyelashes grown back. And me, I was struggling with my eyelashes really bad still. And that's always still, even still to now, like it's still like the biggest thing. And hers, it's not as bad. Now as an adult, it's not as bad at all. So she'll still pick, but it's not like she's not gonna have a whole eyeball missing or anything like that. But we'll still try to say like you, it's okay. You're still like beautiful and strong. You got this. And nobody, like, and we say to each other as an adult, like nobody cares. Nobody's gonna, they don't say anything. And that's what we notice as an adult, you don't say much of anything. And kids tend to be more harsh about it. And like they're curious, but they don't realize they're being rude or the way they go about it, they're teasing you. So, but as an adult, they learn, like you learn that it's not everybody's like that.
Do you remember some of the comments that maybe kids said to you? And if they asked questions, did you tell them the truth?
Oh no. I never told them the truth. I really, if I said anything, I usually didn't say anything. I just kind of like ignored them and just kept doing whatever I was doing. And if I did say something, I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know what you're talking about. Because then it was that awkward moment, that awkward conversation. And they would just like sit there, stare at you, and like get really close to your face. And that was the other thing. Like, I never let anyone get close to my face, like even talking to me. It was like, it had to be like at a distance. Because then I'm like, oh, they're going to notice.
Oh yeah, that's the scariest for me, besides being close like that, was looking at me from the side. My side profile, you could definitely tell I was missing my eyelashes, even if I try to like wear makeup and I'm thinking, oh my God, please don't have anybody look. Don't have anyone sit next to me, this way or this way, because they'll just look and see it.
Yeah. And that's why, like, as a kid, even like, I like to wear my glasses all the time. to me it was like, oh, it's less noticeable, like, because you get the little glare from the glasses too. So, and then we started actually as a kid trying to disguise it more with makeup, and now, like, I love doing makeup. So it's like, we do the, like, the wing eyeliner. I mean, it helped a lot, because then it kind of turned someone away from the no hair, and they're like, oh, you're really good at makeup. And I'm like, yeah, because I've, like, tried my best to, like, make it look really good, so it pulls your attention away from your hair on your eye and just to the makeup itself.
What are some other things you did to maybe try to cover up some missing areas?
Oh, I've tried those, like, fake eyelashes and stuff, and like, and those make it like the glue on ones and stuff. Sometimes that irritates it more, and I think that can be like the some of the worst thing ever. Because then also you're like, oh, then I have to go and either take them off, and then like, then it's like, it's kind of like a reminder instead of just kind of sitting with it and try to like say, okay, like, this is just how it is and how it's gonna be. But as a kid, I was like, oh, no, I have to cover it up.
Yeah, the fake eyelashes as an adult. Like once the pandemic hit, I pulled out all my eyelashes for the first time in like 10 years. And so I was teaching and I was like, "Oh, I could tell the kids. I wouldn't mind, but I just like don't feel the need to." So I would wear fake eyelashes and then I would wear them to sleep. Like I was so
Yeah.
hooked on them. They were my comfort blanket. I could not get rid of them.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel like I would be, was like sleep with them and stuff, or even like before like dating, like it was like, oh, I had to like wear them all the time, even to sleep and stuff, because I didn't, I'm like, they don't know, I didn't tell them, and I don't want to freak anyone out and scare them away, or even just like friends, like at a sleepover. So it's, yep, go to bed with them. And sometimes I would freak out if, like, the next morning, like, oh, one's like all the way up here, or one totally came off. I'm like, uh-oh, where did it go?
You bring up a good point. Not wanting people to be close to us physically, but also maybe even sometimes emotionally. How did you navigate growing up, dating, making friends, having sleepovers with your trichotillomania?
I was very picky and choosy about certain, like, friend groups and certain people. Like, I was extremely shy, and I wouldn't like put myself out there. So it was like, it was just kind of, I was more so, I'd rather like be by myself. And then by the friends I did have, I made friends just from soccer, from playing sports, and stuck with like a couple close few people, and that was it. And most of them actually, like, they didn't even know. And the only person out of like my friend group was like one of my cousins that I'm very close with. So it, you know, she's the only one that knew out of all them, and she's the only one that if someone would say something, like, she would say something back to them, but that one that would like kind of stick up for you.
Have you ever felt like you had to avoid an activity or an event because of your BFRB?
Oh yeah. There was like in high school we had swimming class, and that's the killer. That was like the most major thing. 'Cause then I'd be like, oh, I was like, I don't want to go swimming, because I'm like, you know, it's my makeup's gonna run, and it's like, or I'm gonna have to redo it, and it's just gonna be a mess. And then you get like anxiety. So then I would try to find ways around it, like to not take that swimming class and stuff. And especially like first thing in the morning. I'm like, if it was at the end of the day, maybe it wouldn't be so bad. But then to go through the whole school day, it's like, yeah, no. And everybody's gonna be staring at you too. Like, after, then if you have a presentation, and like, you're standing in front of everyone, like, they're staring at you as it is, and then they're gonna notice more that there's something off about you.
Yeah, same with me. Literally quit the swim team. I was like, we're not getting anywhere near this water because the makeup will come off, and nope, just not going to deal with that.
Yep. Too much. It gives you like even more anxiety, and that like increases everything more too. And like, I think you've mentioned it before too, about like, even after you pull, and then you're like, oh, I feel even worse now. Like, it felt so great at the moment, and then you feel even worse after. And still, from before to now, like, it's still like that. But listening to like your videos and podcast. It's been really nice and like relieving to like it's okay, it's okay. You'll get through it. This is just how it is sometimes, and you know, it's kind of like also you just gotta kind of just keep pushing through, and life keeps going.
Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today. You mentioned earlier that you tried some medications. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So we went to, what do you call us, the psychiatrist, and he started, it was my sister first. She was started on Lexapro, and she hated it, absolutely hated it, like had like side effects from it. It like increased like the anxiety and everything. And then she tried citalopram, it's also called, and I've been taking that now. We've been taking it since I was, I think, 19 years old, and I'm 31 now. So it's been a long time, and it's helped a lot. Not just like with like some of like the trick, because that's still there. That's always like gonna be there. But the anxiety and like depression and stuff, like it's helped with that a lot. The only downfall of like kind of I don't like about like taking the medication, like even being on a low dose of like 20 milligrams, it's if you don't take it for like so many days, then you start to go back into like the mood swings and stuff, because it's also used for a mood stabilizer. So it's like these medications, they also have multiple different uses, and it's always the craziest thing trying to like come off or go on and switching back and forth. And sometimes they help, sometimes they don't. And it's like a hit or miss depending on the day, sometimes also. Plus, I mean, not that with like alcohol intake and how much you eat, like, or like what you eat, like certain foods can like kind of trigger the trick. Like, even, oh, you might be fine, like, to have like some drinks like the day before, but then the next morning you might go into like a pulling frenzy, because then it's like your mood's totally off from it and everything. And that's happened like quite a few times to me, and because then you're like overtired, your brain's overworked, you're feeling just like crap anyhow. So that's the other thing, as an adult, as you get older, like you try to manage with your lifestyle, and it's not always the easiest, but you do, you manage to get through, and like, okay, I just hit a bump in the road. It's not like always going to be like that. My twin sister that has trick too, she was like, well, it's just hair, it's just hair, it will grow back, like you will be fine, don't stress too much about it.
So much of, I would say, like the continuous pulling, that like trick trance, a lot of that comes from what we're saying after that pull, right? That negativity, it's just like, oh, I want to self-soothe forever, I feel so horrible. When we do start to say like, hey, it's just hair, it'll grow back, like, hey, we've done this before, just a bump in the road. For me personally, I've noticed that'll help me pull less because I'm not going back to it. I'm kind of saying, oh yeah, you're right, let me go do this instead.
Exactly. Yep. And I think that's easier to realize and like keep that thought in your head, like as we get older, as being an adult, it kind of like has this like transition just to keep repeating. It's like that, like an affirmation almost, that you can just like keep saying, like, it's okay, like it's hair, it'll grow back. And I know some people have said before, like, you know, they pulled so much that the hair is just like not gonna grow back. I don't know if that's like as rare, like it rarely happens. I mean, and then you think about it too, not even just from like a BFRB, like people with alopecia, they'll never, never have like it, or just very rarely maybe be able to like grow hair back or have some hair. And I mean, I can't imagine, like I always try to think, well, some people have it like worse off too. And it's like, just that's something like that they can't ever like get back because of another like condition.
Do you have moments where, or memories where your trick was very severe and then also not as severe, kind of growing back in?
Yeah, so the most severe was like I just went through I was in high school and I just went through a breakup. All my eyebrows, all my eyelashes gone, completely gone. And now as an adult, it's not as it's there, but it's not as severe. I actually it's funny because I just went through a like a full blown like a total relapse too. So and ripped everything out. And I was trying so hard my best. Like I had just like patches like from here and there, like the outer corners of my eyes, like missing. Okay, I'm like, all right, that's fine. Like things it'll grow back. It's fine. And then I went maybe like 2 weeks and I'm like, okay, I'm doing such a great job. And then all of a sudden, nope, see you later. All out, all came out. Especially if you see like one little hair and you're like, oh, I gotta get that. Or it's like, oh, I feel the urge to like a super strong urge, like of a thicker hair or something. And you just, yeah, you keep running your hand over it. And now, recently, like I've been on a roll of they're in the process, all pretty much grown back right now. So keeping my fingers crossed, at least until my sister's wedding in September. I'm like, I just gotta get to that, and then it's gonna be a bigger accomplishment. Because the biggest accomplishment with it was going a whole year without pulling, and I don't even know how it happened. I think I was just constantly busy, and it was like a little bit more of a carefree time in my life. I just got a brand new job and I was doing really well, still like living with my sister in an apartment. So I'm like, okay, everything's turned out like really good. And then other things. So after that year, like having a new boyfriend and that, like, that was totally like, it was a lot. It was a lot more worries and stress then. And between that and trying to like manage life.
What are some of your triggers, whether it's a sensation or even a location?
So usually it's like in bed getting ready to go to sleep, or I could be at the end of the day like at work and I'm like driving home and it's like rubbing my eyes a lot. The rubbing, because then you can feel every little hair, and you're like, okay, like I think I get something in my head. No, it's just really itchy. And you're like, oh, maybe it's this one hair that I have to just get that's like bothering me, you know? And it's really funny because I think a lot of people with trick, it's a lot. It's the same. A lot of it's the same. Like we say a lot of the same. So and that makes it even nicer because then we don't you don't feel alone. It's more like everybody has an understanding.
Yeah, even just now, when I was itching my eye, I was using my knuckle because I'm like, oh, I can't feel the hairs. If I itch my eye with my fingertip, I'm like, ding, ding, ding. Oh, which one is good? With my
Yeah.
knuckle, I'm like, okay, girl, do your job. Just itch the eye and get out, you know?
Just do what I gotta do and get out.
How would you say your relationship with your trichotillomania has changed over time?
I think I've finally come to like accept it a little bit more of an un like more have more of an understanding of it. I want to like be more open about it now too. So, I mean, because I've never done this is the first time I've ever talked about it for like social media, podcasts, like everything. So it's like really relieving. And a lot of people actually have encouraged me like to do it. I've like put like I think one or two things on like TikTok or like I think it was TikTok. I put like one or two things about it on there. But other than that, no, like I have kept quiet about it most of the time until yeah, until I hit 30 years old and I'm like, wait, why am I being so just isolate. I felt like it was just like so isolating and then it's a little bit easier the more you talk about it and that everybody else knows. And even like my therapist, she was like, yeah, that's great. That's awesome. Like, do it and like, let me know. And even more, like, I got the journal from you. So, and that's been like really, really nice too, to have and write in and read the little messages and stuff in it. And so actually my therapist, I sent it to her because she's like, oh, this is great, because then I can recommend it like to other people. And it's helpful. It's very helpful. And so stuff like that, it's kind of like, it's very inspiring to like try to put it out there.
Well, thank you so much. First of all, that is the best thing I've ever heard all day. So, thank you. You're making my whole entire life with your sweet words. There's something magical about being in your 30s where I feel like you just stop caring as much about the things that maybe used to plague us. Like, I can't imagine living how I used to, hiding it, hiding it. I'm get so tired. I mean, it's exhausting.
It stresses you out more. It gives you more anxiety. And they're like, why? Like, why do I have to, like, you don't. And I think it's just because of society from before, especially when we grew up in like the 90s and like the early 2000s. It's like nobody, some people knew, but they didn't know about it. And they were just like, oh, you're just crazy. Like, there's just something wrong with you. Just stop doing that. Like, you're just hurting yourself. And I'm like, you know what? It's kind of ironic because I'm like, well, I would love to, but, and they just, there's not like, there wasn't a great understanding. And now I think there's more of an increase of an understanding, especially because it's not just the BFRB, it's like mental health conditions and stuff. And because then that plays a huge role in it. And that's what I love because I work in neurology. So it's like, I love to learn about all of it and stuff. So it's like a big part of my job, of my like my home life. Even though they're like, don't bring your work life home. And it's like, well, you kind of do in a way, because we're all human.
When you met people through your work that had trichotillomania, did you share that you also had it? How did that go?
I did with one of them, because the other one I couldn't share it with. They were more of like a non-verbal. So, but the other one I did, and it was kind of weird because it was a guy, and like I don't see too many guys with it. So, and it was interesting. It was very kind of like really, I think he was more relieved because like he had no idea that like I kind of like asked. I was like, I'm just curious because like I have this, so like is that something you're going through? And I'm like, he's like, oh, actually, yeah. And he's like, you know, it's funny that you asked, because I would have never noticed from you. I was like, well, I get to wear the dark makeup. It's like, so it's hidden, but it was interesting. It was nice conversation to hear, like, about even just a male to have it, because I mean, there's guys out there that have it, and it's not. I think it's harder for them now to like talk about it than it is like for us, because then there's not too many men that we know of. Like the smaller percentage, I think, is men, if I remember right.
And also, when you found out the name for the disorder, and you said that when you were older, you noticed that your dad did it, did you have a conversation with him and say, hey, listen, we do the same thing?
Yeah, actually, yeah. And he's the one that said it to me. Like he was sitting there one day and he was just like yanking his eyebrow and he's like, oh yeah. And I said, I was like, Dad, you know you're doing that, right? And he's like, yeah, I know. He's like, I know, I can't help it. He goes, I guess that's where you girls get it from. Like, oh yeah, I guess. He's like, yep. It's like that's a great possibility.
Yeah, it's so interesting because in my family, at least, no one who's alive or who is alive but didn't admit it. But when I first was diagnosed, my mom was calling everybody, hello, does anyone else do this? And they were like, no. But I have seen other BFRBs, nail biting, picking the skin around the nails,
That's
only
me.
as,
Skin picking around my nails, my face, like, and just it's there's a huge variety of it, and people don't like think about those other ones too. I mean, and my current boyfriend now, he sits there and like bites his nails and stuff, and I'm like, he goes, He's like, see, I got something with me too. And I go, yeah, I know. I was like, we all do. It's like, so it's, but, and it's, I said, I was like, those are more like the social, so, quote unquote, social acceptables. Like that someone's like, oh, that's a usual. Like we see people do that all the time compared to like hair pulling.
What advice would you give someone who wants to start sharing their story?
So first, try to be more accepting of yourself and hearing and listening and just watching like all like the videos and stuff. It's very like reassuring because there's millions and millions of people, especially like on the social media, that have it and share it. I mean, there's even makeup artists. There's another girl that I follow, and she's amazing makeup artist, and she hasn't. So just try to be more kinder to yourself because it's not the end of the world. Just be kinder to yourself and try to be more accepting about it for yourself personally and not worry about what someone else is going to say about it. As it's like easier said than done.
Thank you.